Hi, my name is Stevie Manns and I am the producer behind Fighting for Ukraine. Yuri as well. Often when listeners hear my voice, they think that this can be cause for concern, but I assure you he is fine. Yuri was actually interviewed recently by professor and podcast host Bob Mann. Bob is chair of the Department of Communication and Media Studies at Caldwell University and is also a former SiriusXM radio host of a media issue show. In today's episode of Fighting for Ukraine, we are sharing the full episode of Yuri's conversation with Bob on Hot Media with Bob Mann. If you haven't already, I'd ask you to please consider donating to Yuri, as he's doing this podcast to raise money to send to his daughter, who, as you may know, is a refugee in another country. He often speaks about her on the podcast and how much he misses her. Podbean has kindly sponsored Fighting for Ukraine, and you are now able to be a patron of the show on the Podbean app by clicking the little red money sign at the top of the show page. If you are not a Podbean user, you can donate to Yuri's GoFundMe at gofundme.com/helpyurisfamily. Both of those links and more to help the people of Ukraine are always in the show notes. We want to thank Podbean for their continued support of this podcast. Now, please enjoy Yuri's conversation with Bob Mann.
Here on Hot Media, we talk about the hottest controversies and the hottest content in mass media. I'm Bob Mann. And I'm very honored. I'm getting into the show very quickly here today because of the fact that the person who is my guest is under a great deal of pressure. Not the kind of pressure we talk about in America with our daily lives, but the pressure of war. Yuri Matsarsky is a journalist, and he is now a soldier, a freedom fighter in Ukraine. We have talked about Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine, and one of my feelings is that Americans get bored easily, and I'm so concerned that we are going to lose our focus in terms of this war and paying attention to what it means. Yuri, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here on Hot Media.
Thank you. An interest in our affairs. Thank you so much.
And let's just talk a little bit about the idea of your personal story. Very often, journalists are supposed to be the people who are on the sidelines. They are the objective observers. They try to see two sides in every story, although there aren't always two equal sides to every story, especially this one. What made you decide that the time had come to not be on the outside looking in, but to pick up arms, take action, and change the nature of what you're doing for your country?
I've been a journalist. I've been a reporter for more than two decades before the war started. And I was, you know, I was an observer. I was a independent observer, but guy who is standing on the sidelines and watching what is going on. I've been in a lot of really bad places. I worked in Syria, in Iraq, in Gaza Strip, in Central Asia, in Cairo during Arab Spring, and so on and so on. And when the war started, the very first day of the war was, I think it was the craziest and the baddest day in my life. The worst day of my life, because, you know, my personality, it's some kind split in two parts, in two different, completely different parts. One part is the journalist part. This part was saying to me, oh, you should find a way to be useful for your country in your reporter's way. You should try to make some reports, or you should try to make some observing about what's going on in Ukraine, in your country. But my other part of personality, it told me that, you know, it's not time and it's not place to be observer, to be a guy who's standing aside and just watching. And but other part of my personality, at the end of the first day of the war, this part of my personality won. So I took my, because I was a war reporter in a, for a long time, of course I have my reporter helmet with me. Of course I have a bulletproof jacket and all the stuff for security in bad places like war zones and so on. So I took my helmet with a big black helmet with a huge white letters press on it. And I took also my daughter's black marker and I painted, you know, all these white letters press on it, and you know, remade my press helmet, my reporter helmet, into a warrior's helmet. And with this helmet, on the second day of the war, I joined the army. I volunteered to join the army on the second day of the war, and I took my helmet with me. And the only thing military authorities in Kyiv, the only thing they gave to me on this second day of the war, it was assault rifle, Kalashnikov rifle, and about 80 ammo for it.
Yuri, can I just ask you a quick question about the fighting? I think so many of us here in the United States, of course, many people have joined the military. We just had Memorial Day. People have certainly fought, but we haven't really fought since the 1860s on our own territory. What is combat like? I know you look like a pretty tough guy, and you've been a war correspondent being in the middle of it. So the whizzing of bullets, the explosion of rockets is not something new to you. But what is it like to be in a life and death situation, a kill or be killed situation, especially against such an overwhelming force that is trained and sent in to wipe you out?
You know, because the front is so wide, because a lot of regions is under occupation, because in a lot of regions the fighting is going on almost every day or directly every day. So the picture of the war is different. So you can be in one part of, for example, Donetsk region. I was in one brigade in Donetsk region who was fighting, you know, in some kind of flat lands. It was only fields. Even the forest and even trees were really rare in this place. And it was from, you know, from afar, it looks like a Second World War movie. You know, everything is burning. All the things you can hear is blasts, and you can see tanks which is riding through the fields. You can see guys who are running behind these tanks. The only differences between this situation and the Second World War movies, it's helicopters, which is also flying in the skies. But 20 or maybe 40 miles from this place in the same Donetsk region, the picture is completely different, not the same at all. Because, you know, the guys, the Ukrainian soldiers, they are managed to dug long, deep trenches. So, and we are living in these trenches for weeks, and we are fighting under constant shelling, under constant artillery shelling. So it looks much more than First World War, you know? It looks like a trench war.
The trench warfare, right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because this is a media issues podcast and you are a journalist. Do you get any opportunity to get a sense of what the coverage is like here in the West, in the USA, in Western Europe? Do you have any means of seeing this to know how well the coverage is going, or if it's incomplete?
You know, it depends. I've worked with a lot of medias from United States, from Germany, from Arabic countries, from Great Britain, and so on. And at one moment, I decided that a lot of stories, they don't have a lot of some kind of personal insight. We don't have some kind of personal feeling in it. So I started my own podcast, Fighting for Ukraine, you know, just to make this war a little bit more, personal for my listeners, for people who really want to understand what is going on in the heart and the soul of a guy who became a soldier.
Tell us a little bit more about the podcast and where people can get it. I assume, you know, you always say wherever you get your podcasts, Do you have a good range of platforms, Spotify, Apple, Odyssey, all of the rest? Where can people find it? And what are you publishing when you get onto the podcast?
You know, it started because a friend of mine, she's living in the United States, and she proposed me to start recording something. I think it was the very last days of the first month of the war. And she wrote me that a lot of people here in the United States were really concerned about what's going on in Ukraine. They really want to help Ukraine people and Ukrainian and Ukraine and Ukrainian people, but we don't have a whole picture about it. Maybe you should try to make some new insights. Maybe you should try to make some new views on the situation inside Ukraine. So I started this English language podcast. Today it was 60 episodes was published. Its name is Ku Klux Putin. At first it was daily podcast, but now I can't do it on a daily basis. I do it once, 2 or 3 days. It's short stories from 3 to 5 minutes about my own feelings, about what I see, about what I hear, about my daughter who became refugee, about my parents who are also refugees now, about my comrades. Some of them are already killed by Russian strikes. Some of them are already wounded by Russian strikes. I think you can find it almost anywhere. I can tell you one thing. I was a radio anchor before the war. I have had my own daily radio show on the national Ukrainian radio station. But I wasn't before the war. I wasn't, you know, deep into podcast fam. So, but for sure you can find my podcast just type in Google Fighting for Ukraine podcast.
So let's talk a little bit about what I said at the very beginning of this interview, which is my fear is that Americans, we tend to get bored with news stories and we have a lot of domestic news and a lot of issues that come up, and people sadly seem to be as concerned about the price of gas as they are about the slaughter of civilians in a free country, in a democracy. And I was wondering if you have any concern at all, especially knowing as a journalist how fickle the public can be, about the loss of interest day to day in what's going on in your country.
Yeah, I have some kind of fears about the war is becoming more and more routine thing for a lot of people in the West, first of all, in our allied countries. But, you know, there is a very, very, very simple exercise. When you are getting mad about gas prices, when you are getting mad about some kind of, you know, economical instability and other things, just remember that people are dying ruthlessly under shelling in this unprovoked and unjustified war. And a lot of people, first of all, women, kids, and elderly people, because Russia mostly targeting civilian infrastructure. So all these people will gladly exchange places with you.
I was going to wrap up by asking you what is the take-home message that you would have for the American people, but I think you may have just given that in the sense of, you know, put yourself in our shoes and remember it. But the media has a responsibility every single day to keep reporting on this. What can we do as individual citizens? Obviously, President Biden, the Congress, the U.S. military has an obligation and has been meeting it in terms of weaponry and financial aid. But what can an individual citizen in the United States do besides saying, oh, gee, that's a shame? What can we do that's concrete?
One of my listeners from United States, the person from the United States who are listening to my podcast, he or she wrote to me that after this podcast, he or she decided to write to his her representative in Washington to not to forget about Ukraine, not to forget about Ukrainian kids, not to forget Ukrainian women. And a few other people who are also listening to my podcast, they are supported this decision. So if you will write to your representatives, if you will talk about Ukraine, if you will talk about what is going on here with your relatives, with your colleagues, with your bosses, with all the people who are ready to listen to you, it would be a big deal. Because, you know, while you are talking about Ukraine, Ukraine is not forgotten. And while we are not forgotten, we are fighting, and we are winning. And if you are stopped to talk, if you are stopping to talk about Ukraine, the aid is, you know, is no more. The war is becoming really, really hard for us. It's already really hard for us. It's already, you know, the Ukraine is bleeding right now. But you should talk about what's going on in our country every day and with everyone who is ready to listen. Your representatives, your colleagues, as I said before.
Yuri Matsartsky, our guest right here on this episode of Hot Media. I want to thank him for taking the time out. When you say taking time out, usually it's from a busy schedule. This is from combat, from a war. And we hope that the media keeps Ukraine front and center, regardless of all of the other things we're dealing with. Mass shootings, inflation, January 6th, so many other stories. But we have to make sure that Ukraine remains on our minds. That's it for this episode of Hot Media, and I want to make sure that everyone realizes, because many of you may have come here just for this particular episode, that this is a weekly podcast, and we discuss the hottest issues in mass media, including entertainment. It's not just journalism, it's also entertainment. We're on all the major audio platforms. It's primarily an audio podcast, but we also have a video version. In this case, it's the raw version of the interview with no edits. And we urge you to go to the website, www.bobmanhotmedia.com, and to find out everything about the podcast. Also, follow me on Twitter, my handle, @BobmanMedia, B-O-B-M-A-N-N Media. Listen, watch, and subscribe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fighting for Ukraine, courtesy of Bob Mann and the Hot Media Show. Don't forget, donate links to Yuri are in the show notes, or you can find them at gofundme.com/help Yuri's family and patron.podbean.com/Yuri.